fellowship. Very seldom do you fellowship with a saint of God and talk about the Word and God, and regardless of where you're at in life. And I'll use it as needed. And then I thought I would need it last time, but then I kept grabbing it. But it's literally almost impossible to have a fellowship with a saint of God, talk about God, and even if you're in a bad place spiritually, and leave and not feel edified. I had a testimony one time, years ago. You ever felt oppressed and you didn't even know why? Amen. Like there's a spirit on you, or not possessed, but you know, just oppressing you, just you're carrying it, you don't even know why. Amen. And I went by the church, and this young brother came around the corner, and as soon as I saw him, it left. Yeah, so if we're going to do this thing, we're going to do it collectively. And everybody can have something to add, and everybody has a different gift or a different calling, but it's a body, you know. And so, you know, we can point out a lot of things in modern church, but I'd rather be, you know, struggling in church than making it in the world. And so I'd rather be like I'm barely holding on, but I still got some faith, you know, than just let go and just, hey, you know, bottoms up. Because no matter how hard life is and no matter what's going on, sin or leaving God is not ever the answer. Me and Brother Desmond were talking about marriage and, you know, marriage counseling, and we're talking about how, you know, older couples can help the newer couples. And I'm going to tell you this one thing. No matter how hard marriage gets, no matter what the problem is, sin will never make it better. Amen. You know, you're not satisfied with your wife and things getting hard and you feel, you know, you ain't getting what you need. Well, she might not be either. Right? And so then you got the little honey bun at the work. And you feel like you ain't getting what you need, and all these marital problems, I can guarantee you, if you go that route, it is not going to make your life or your marriage any better. Obeying God, no matter how you feel like it, will always result with fruit. Anyway, that's not even the topic. I'm sorry, y'all. So anyways, this is part two. So the topic was, why did apostles baptize in Jesus' name? And what I've learned over the course of time is that, you know, in times past, you sit there and you argue with people about titles, right? Everybody knows about the titles and the name, and people go back and forth about what's the right way, what's the wrong way. And we kind of just nutshell it into one phrase, baptism in Jesus' name for remission of sins, and we argue about that or stand on that. And there's truth that, but I'm not discounting that. But what really needs to happen is we need to get an understanding of why they baptize in Jesus' name. What is the end result of that? What does that mean for me and for you? He's talking about the name, right? The reason why the name of Jesus is so powerful is because there's a man behind the name. Okay? Jesus Christ, those words alone are not powerful. Okay? I'm not speaking blasphemy. I'm just saying the reason why they're powerful is because there's a man behind that name sent by God to save us. That's why devils fear that name. They don't fear my name. You know, if you get attacked by the devil, the last person you want to call is Rob Kennerly. Because I have no power in that realm to help you. You know, if you need $1 million, I am the wrong name to be calling. But if you call Bill Gates and he's so inclined to give it to you, he's got the backing behind his name to accomplish that. So when we call on the name of Jesus, it's just not the name. It is the man sent by God behind the name that gives it power. And so I'm just going to review some things that we went over last time. There's some people here that weren't here last time, so maybe you know falls right into place. So first of all, we talked about the knowledge of Christ, how important it is to get the knowledge of Christ. I'm not going to go to the scriptures like last time. I even missed a card last time, so we might be here like an extra half hour. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just going to refer to it. So we learned that grace and peace is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Christ. Okay? The knowledge of Christ is utmost importance to us. Okay? If that name is all powerful and that name can save me and it's all sufficient, then I want to learn everything I can about that man. And we're going to go over why you want to learn everything about that man, and then you'll understand even more why the apostles baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. The Bible says, in all that getting, get what? An understanding. So we want to understand this. The more we grow in the knowledge of Christ, the stronger our faith will be. We'll know what we're believing in. We'll know what we have and what we possessed. So, first scriptures, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 2. And this is talking about being baptized unto Moses. Moses saved them from slavery, right? I'm not going to go through the whole story, but they had a condition, right? They were bound by slavery, and they were in a condition they could not get themselves out of. But Paul likens that to them being going through the Red Sea to being baptized onto Moses. So Moses was the Savior sent by God. Was Moses that important in of himself? No, he was not. But he was the man sent by God to go save them, because they could not save themselves. So the passing through the Red Sea was a typology of being what? Baptized into Christ. So they were baptized onto Moses. So now Moses became their leader, their mediator, their captain. Everything that had a connection with God went through who? Moses. He was the only ticket out. If you didn't feel like, if you looked at it and said, well, I'm not walking through that. What if it collapses on me while I'm halfway through? Well, I don't like Moses. I don't like what he wears. You know? But if he was the only ticket out of their condition, was a man named Moses, and they were symbolically baptized onto him, and he led them out of their condition. He literally changed who they were. This is all leading up to something. Does it sound familiar? He literally changed who they were and their condition. Under one condition. They had to walk through and follow Moses. It's a kind of another, the story goes on. It's kind of a different message for a different day. But those that didn't make it was really simple. They stopped believing Moses. It wasn't about their abilities or what they had, what it takes, or their intellect, or what tribe they were from. They just stopped believing Moses' word, and they died in the wilderness. Most spiritual sicknesses in our lives and around us is because we stopped believing the word. All right, so now we're going to talk about being baptized on Christ. We're going to do a comparison. So Galatians 3:27, I think it is. And it says, for as many be baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So it's very familiar scripture. Notice it didn't say baptized around Christ. It didn't say onto Christ. It didn't say next door to Christ. It said baptized into Christ. And so for many people have been baptized into Christ have what?
Put on
Christ. So just like the Jews, that Moses became their identity when they were baptized onto Moses, when we're baptized into Christ and we put on Christ, then Christ becomes what? Our identity. He, Jesus Christ, literally changed our spiritual realities. Just like Moses literally changed them from slavery unto Moses, Jesus Christ literally changed anybody that receives him, baptized into him, and put him on. He changes their reality. Because we were in a condition we could not change, right? You know, and then, of course, we can get on later on, Moses' law brought what? Sin and death. And so when Jesus came to them, he's saying, come and be baptized with me on, he's saving them from the law of sin and death. How many of you know that we had a sin disease that humans could not cure? There's nothing we can do for it. We were helpless to it. I mean, like, it's just, I mean, those Jews that were in Egypt, they couldn't, there's nothing, you just, if you're a child born, you're just born into it. There's nothing you can do. So the same thing that man had a disease called sin. You know the greatest, this is a side note, you know the greatest healing of all time is when God healed us from sin? You know, this is a side note here. When it says, by his stripes we're healed, and then Peter quoted that in his book, and he said that he bore our sins, right? And I'm paraphrasing, he bore our sins in his body, making us righteous. And then Peter says, by his stripes you were healed. Past tense. Peter said, by his stripes you were healed. What Peter was talking about is the sin disease. Because that was our greatest need. Because, I mean, I've known people get healed, you know, from cancer. That stuff is exciting. Especially if you have cancer and you get healed. That's really exciting. But you know why that's more exciting sometimes? Because we can see it. We can feel it. You know, there's a preacher, I don't know if you know him, Brother Pence from Arizona. He ate up with cancer. I don't know how many tumors he's had. I saw a picture of like skin and bones. And being a nurse, I'm like, he's still up now preaching now. God healed him. And that's exciting. But you know what's even more exciting? Is that man had a sin disease, and God sent a Savior, a man by the name of Jesus Christ, to heal us from that disease. The Bible says, John said what? Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away what? Man, he did that before you even committed your first sin. Hebrews said he appeared at the end of the world to put away sin, by the sacrifice of himself. Baptized unto Christ. So those attributes, that right there, the putting away of sin becomes our reality when we're what? Oh, it's not up there anymore. But baptized into Christ and we put on Christ. So if he put sin away and he put that disease away, shouldn't we put it away too? In our minds, because basically the sin disease was a barrier. Every time the Old Testament saints died, they didn't go to God, they went to the Sheol, right? And so God came to save man from sin, that barrier. So if you are baptized in Christ and you feel with the Spirit of God in this place today, there is no barrier between you and God other than what we hold in our own minds. Is that all right? We're going to get into that a little more. So the spiritualities that Christ purchased for us and he bought for us. So there's a few phrases that we're going to go over. By Jesus Christ, in whom, through Christ, in him, in the beloved. So I'm not going to read them all. Some I'm just going to go over because we went over last time and a few we're going to read. So by Jesus Christ. So when you read these things in your Bible, when you read the words by Jesus Christ, in Christ, by him, when you read those realities, those are your realities. Because whatever was true of Moses was true of the people that he was the captain of. So whatever's true of Christ is true of those that believe in him and received him and been baptized into him. That's the reality for those that are in Christ. So we talked about the abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness by Jesus Christ. So you want abundance of grace? Who is it going to come by? Jesus Christ. You want to be righteous? Who is it going to come by? And he called it a gift. How many gifts you ever worked for? Yeah. See, we didn't have anything to purchase our righteousness. You know, we didn't have anything to offer. Man didn't have anything to offer to purchase righteousness. But God sent a man named Jesus. righteousness in his account. Then we talked about reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. Reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. Once again, that's the work of Jesus Christ that we had nothing to do with other than believing and following. See, all they had to do was believe Moses and follow him. Everything else was between him and Moses. Between God and Moses. God and Moses, they provided everything else. All the people had to do was, I believe and I'm following. You know? Our Savior, everything, he's got a connection with God, and everything has been provided. It's been laid out. Right. It's just a matter of whether we believe, and I'm following my captain. I'm getting out of here. The water's high. It looks dangerous, but I believe Moses. I'm going to keep walking. So then we learned that spiritual sacrifices were made acceptable by Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices accepted by Jesus Christ. How many know that there's not enough works that we can do that is righteous enough that God would accept it outside of the work of Jesus Christ? That we know what Cain got in trouble? You know, he took it personal. My sacrifice ain't good enough. You know, like how are you going to tell God what sacrifice to accept? You know, that's like us telling God we're not good enough. Like us telling God, I haven't done enough, Lord. I don't deserve this. It's human nature to demote ourselves. You know, it's human nature for us to believe the bad about us. You know, for example, I can go on rabbit trail, so I'm sorry. We always heard that we're sinners because of in Adam, right? Adam made everybody sinners. And we're sinners because of the work of Adam. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, right? Well, if somebody tell you that, you're like, oh, yeah, we're all sinners. But if somebody tells you by the work of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's made you righteous, well, wait a minute. Don't you see me struggling over here? Maybe that's why we are struggling. Because we're not feasting off of this. We're not feasting off of Jesus Christ. We're not saying if he says I got abundant grace, then that's what I'm going to believe. I got abundant grace through Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, I don't see it in my life right now. He didn't ask you to see it. He asked you to believe it. Yeah. Okay. Moses didn't go down there and give him a 10-step preview of what was going to happen. You want to be saved? Follow me. We're going. Yeah. I'll take care of the rest as we go. This walk is a long walk. And we got a Savior that will take care of it all the rest of our journey. Yeah. Yeah. He's never bankrupt. My wife said I got a little preachy last time, but it's hard not to, because when you start really getting into Christ and his goodness and his work and what he's really done for us, it make you want to get a little loud. You know what I mean? Yeah. Man, you listen to this stuff and you can still leave here depressed. You got it bad. You learn about the not growing in grace, right? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you by the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The more you learn about the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you're not going to have more grace. You know, you're not going to build your faith up for another day. Rabbit trail, sorry. All right, Philippians 4:15. By Jesus Christ. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me. Is that the right one? Well, I must have gave Brother Desmond the wrong one. But there's a one in there that talks about he supplies all of our needs. Okay? You know, you hear the scriptures and it talks about according to his riches. All of those riches are bound up, tied up, wrapped up, in one man named Jesus Christ. And we have access to all of what that represents because we put on Christ when we got baptized into Christ. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:4, next one. Hopefully I got this one right. I thank my God always for your behalf for the grace of God which is in given you by who? So where grace come by? Jesus Christ. You want grace? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Well, I don't feel like I got what it's to take. Well, join the club. None of us got what it's to take, but The man Jesus Christ that saved us got everything that it takes. So grace comes by Jesus Christ. Moses brought the law. John said grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. And that was the big hang-up in that day when Jesus came to the Pharisees and the Jews. They didn't want to let go of Moses. Okay, he was the man for the hour for what God was doing at that time, but they wouldn't want to let him go. When Jesus came on the way, Christ came and sent another man named Jesus to actually change who they were. As long as they were under Moses, they were under sin. Because law, transgression is what? Sin is transgression of the law. So those Pharisees and the Jews, they could not give up the idea that our leader, our captain Moses, we got to leave him and go get baptized onto Christ and identify with him. They just could not let go of that fact. And the reality is, none of them kept the law. Isn't that something? Isn't that something how we can maintain a belief system? We're not even keeping it ourselves. That's like those people that teach sinless perfection. Then I ask them, are you perfect? No. I haven't met anybody yet that teaches that doctrine and says, yep, I'm sinless and I'm perfect. But they believe that. So then by their own doctrine, then you're condemning yourself, right? I mean, like, so you got these Jews, they would not let go of the old man Moses, right? Because all Moses did was administer sin and death and law. And when Christ came, they would not baptize over. All right, so we're going through Christ. Now we're going through Christ. I'm just going to review a few things. One of them was the blessing of Abraham comes through Christ. Here's a very, very popular scripture that most of y'all could probably quote by heart. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ. Once again, how many gifts have you ever worked for? See, so that's not the point that we're trying to get something, a new gift. The point is, are we going to let the gift, well, are we going to use the gift? You know? If somebody gave you a brand new boat, first thing I'm doing on my day off, I'm getting in that boat and we're going to the water. I'm going to use this gift. God has given us the gift of eternal life residing in us. Now it's up to us, are we going to use that gift? All through Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through Christ. So we're going to read these other ones talking about through what we have through Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 55, 57. Here's a good one. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the what? Law. And that goes back to what I'm saying. The Jews did not want to give up the law. And as long as they held on to law, what were they holding on to? Sin. That barrier. Because all sin did was point you a sinner, sinner, sinner. It just pointed the disease out. All it did was just point man's disease out, that you're sin, sin, sin. That's all really law could do. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. What victory? The victory over death, sin, that sin condition. It's all in Christ Jesus. This is kind of like, you know, if you go to a job and they got really good benefits, you're going to pull out the manual and start reading on it, right? And then what you're going to do? You're going to walk like you got those benefits. Yeah? If your job says you got zero deductible, you go to the hospital. You're going to go to the hospital, I'm sick, but man, I ain't paying a dollar. These are the benefits I got from working. But we got some benefits in Christ Jesus that we have not even scratched the surface of living in our lives. I'm talking personally, and I'm sure about everybody agrees that you have not even tapped into the surface of what Jesus Christ has done, can do, and will do. Because if we don't get these realities in us, remember, Moses changed their condition to another condition. Jesus changed our spiritual condition to another spiritual condition. And it's not according to our own minds and what we're thinking. It is according to the words of Jesus Christ. This is one of the times where if it sounds too good, it's true. You know, you get a scam, right? I had a scammer call me today, and it was recorded. Calling from the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, and we found a car with drugs with your name, was identified to your name. I almost, you know, sometimes I'll mess with them. I'd hit the button to talk to them, but then it was like another recording, and I just stopped. So sometimes they say, if it sounds too good, you know, you get leery. Well, this is one time you can put that aside because it is sounds really good, because it is really good, and it's what he did for us. All right, Philippians 4, 6, 7. Be careful for nothing. How many people heard that, right? How many people have ever struggled with that? Being careful means being anxious, right? That's why we got to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because without the knowledge of what he's done for us, we'll be anxious about our salvation. We'll be anxious about our lives. We're wondering, you know, how secure my salvation is, how secure I am. If you're in Christ and you know you've been baptized into Christ and you've been filled with his Spirit, you are secure as Jesus is. And I'm going to show that in a little bit. Be careful for nothing. Anxiety is a form of unbelief. We've all done it, okay? Yeah. I might do it next week after saying that. I'm just saying. It's something we got to grow out of and grow into and grow into resting in what Christ has done for us. But be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, because he's doing the work, right? It all comes through him. So even while you're praying, you're thanking him, right? You thank. What do you thank people for? Something they did for you. Right? They give you a gift, you say thank you. You know, they come over and tell you something, you know, whatever, your shoe's untied, oh, thank you. Being thankful is always something outside of yourself that someone else has done for you. So be careful to be anxious for nothing, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving before it's even a reality. Because you have the knowledge of Christ, you know that these things are on your behalf and it's your reality because it's a reality for Christ. Therefore, you can pray with thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let your request be known unto God. And that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, boy, we could use a whole lot of that in this world, shall keep your what? Hearts, minds, through Christ Jesus. You want your heart kept? You want your mind kept? It's going to come by who? You see now that it's more than just calling on a name? You see now that it's more than just being baptized into a name? You're being baptized into a man that has given you all of these things. What does that scripture say? According to his riches, what? In glory. There's a story about a couple. They were very poor. They lived in this house, and they were just had a rough time. Had kids, always struggling, you know. I'm sure some people live like that. You know, you've had food, but it wasn't much. And then you have a big family. Everybody's getting what they can because there's not a whole lot. You know what I mean? I got a friend who grew up poor. He said, Mom, put that one chicken on the table, and everybody's grabbing a piece because that's it. Whatever piece you get, that's what you get. You know what I mean? And so my kids don't know nothing even remotely close to being in need. But this couple, they grew up very, very poor. And just struggling, just sleepless nights, hungry nights. Nothing really, just scrambled by. They're their elderly years. And so they got nothing to do, the kids are gone. And so let's go look up in this attic. And they see some stuff in the attic, and there's like these boxes. And they're like going around, open up these boxes, just some knickknacks, open up some one box. It's all these coins, gold, silver, jewels. And they begin to cry. I almost feel like crying. Because of everything Christ has done for us. Yeah. And we're living way below our means. We're listening to all these other voices telling us, giving us our own identity versus letting the Word of God give us Christ's identity. Amen. And so they begin to cry and say, man, all this time that we were, they start to reminisce, you know, the time the kids went home hungry, went to bed hungry, and we didn't have anything to give them, and we hurt and we were crying. And they just begin, and the whole time, it was right there. So Christ can do all of these things for us. I'm at the point now in my walk with God, I do not even think about being lost. Okay? And I'm not saying because I'm super saved, super sanctified. You ever met anybody, people that are super saved? Like, you're regular saved, but they ultra saved. I'm not saying that because I'm just here. I'm just a beacon of apostolic power here. My whole mindset has changed from worrying about being lost to, I want this in my heart. I want victory now in this life so that I can manifest Christ in this life. I want victory in Christ now. I don't want to be just holding on. As long as I'm the doorkeeper and the door hits me on the back and I'm as long as I'm in. No, no. Christ did not purchase all of these things, and we haven't even got through it yet for us to just struggle through. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks be to God who gives us what? The victory through Christ. Yeah. Cry and shame, go hungry at night, and you've got a chest full of gold and jewels right up in your attic. So he established your hearts and your minds, right? How many of you guys have ever been so under mental pressure you thought you might go crazy? Everybody ever been like that? Right? Well, this comes through. He will establish our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. But we have to have the knowledge of Christ. And when he shows it to us, we got to what? Believe it. If he says, I have abundance of grace, then I'm going to pray like I got abundance of grace. Titus 3, I got to look at the clock because I can forget real quick. Oh, my goodness. Time's flying. Oh, we got to hurry now. Ooh, I'm sorry, brother. I got to hurry. All right, we ain't going to read these other ones. I'll just go through them because I want to get to the back. Time flies. Did I talk that long already? Wow. I'm only halfway through. So, all right, Titus 3:5-7 says, he shed on us, talking about the Spirit of God through Christ. Romans 6:11 talks about being alive to God through Jesus Christ. You remember when Paul told him, says, reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God? Where is that? It's right here. Because we know our captain. We know he put away our sin, so therefore I don't identify with sin. I identify with righteousness, so now I'm alive to God. You know, the problem we talked today about the prodigal son. The father said, he rejoiced and said, my father was dead, my son was dead, now he's what? Alive. So now what the son had to do is now live like he was alive to his father. Yeah. Not go up there and remind the father, but do you know what I did while I was out there? You know. And so I'm going to go through quick because I got some ones here at the end I really want to get to. In him, made the righteousness of God in him. All promises are yea. What? Yea. What? And amen. In who? In him, the Bible says. Right? So all the promises, everything that's locked up, everything that we need to make this journey, not just struggle and make it day by day, but to live victorious Christian lives, it's all promised in him. That's why we put them on, right? In Christ, Galatians talks about the new creature, Galatians 6:15, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to go through these real quick because I really want to get to the end. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Okay? The Bible talks about that very popular scripture. It says, if any man be in Christ, what? He's a new creature. Behold, all things are what? Past. Behold, all things have become what? New. That's covenantal language right there. That's not talking about your mind or you as a person, because how many of you know after you got saved, you still struggle with some things? So then that puts doubt in your mind. Well, I said everything's new, and I still got stuff from my childhood I'm dealing with. I still got other tendencies I'm dealing with. That's covenantal language where he talks about that they were coming into Christ, and now they were a new creature in a new covenant through who? Jesus Christ. So the old things, law of sin and death, have passed, And now God, through Christ, he's created a new creation. Yes. Not in the process of creating one. It's past tense. Created. So it's up to us to believe it, receive it, and then walk in it. Sometimes we're in the new creation, but we still got a mind from the old one. And we got to renew it. You know what I mean? Some of us people have had traumatic things happen to them as a child and coming up. And even after you get saved, you're still dealing with it. You're still dealing with it. But we're going by the words of Jesus Christ. We're not going by our situations, what we say, other voices. We live by every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. And if he says we're righteous through Christ, then what are we? If he says we're a new creation, then what are we? All right, we're workmanship in his, created in his Christ, in his workmanship created unto good works, it says. And then I want to read Ephesians 2, 4, 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, our condition, right? They couldn't help it. That's their identity. That's where they were at. Had quickened us, made us alive together with who? For by grace are ye saved. And has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places where? That Jesus Christ literally, what Paul's talking about, has changed our spiritual realities of who and how God identifies us by. That voice came out of heaven and said, what? This is my son in whom I well pleased. Said last time, he didn't say that for Jesus. Jesus knew who he was. He said that for us. This is our Savior. This is the one that's radically changing our, who we are. So we're sitting in heavenly places. How do you sit in heavenly places? Because you're joined to the Lord. And whatever his reality is your reality. Regardless of whether you feel it, walk in it, or believe it. Because we're not living by our own words, our own thoughts, our own minds. We're living by the words of God, right? And if he says you're sitting in heavenly places, then what should you be saying? Amen. Amen. I may not see it manifest in my life yet, but if that's what God says has happened to me, then amen. Right. Right. Brother knows I normally wouldn't do this, but can I get like 10 minutes past? Okay. I'm sorry, y'all. I really didn't know I'd talk that long. He's right. If once we get talking like I might, it's only like I've only been talking like 20 minutes. All right, we're going to get to the end. This is the end part. I actually skipped through some stuff there. So Jesus Christ changed our realities. And this is a very thing that we can never let get out of our hearts and mind. We need to feast on this every day you wake up. You need to remind yourself of the gospel every day. Remind yourself of the gospel. Okay? What is true of Christ is true of me. Okay? Repeat myself because some people weren't here last Wednesday, but and this might be a shocker at first, but for everybody that's in Christ, that's joined to Christ, is holy just as Christ is. It's like, whoa. What are you talking about? Remember, we're talking about what the work of Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. Remember the fornicators in Corinthians? What did Paul tell them? He said, how do you take the members of Christ and go join it to a harlot? What are you doing taking your body that God's redeemed for his purpose and going over there and going to these whorehouses and joining them? He said, know ye not? Know ye not. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? What does the temple of God have to do with agreement with temples of idols and devils, right? But when they were doing that, they didn't stop being the members of Christ. That's what Paul was trying to get them to see. Now, if they didn't change, Paul had a method to deal with them. You know, we're not talking easy believers here. We just, yo, God saved us. And, whoa, I can go be with harlots. No, that's not the message here. Yeah. But Paul was trying to give them the remedy to their problem that they had. He was trying to get them to understand and see that you are taking the members that God made holy because I'm in Christ. I put on Christ. So what's true of Christ is what? True of me. So how are you taking joining the Lord to a harlot? See, spiritual realities to God are just as real as those cars, the seat, this podium, right? This is real. I can't talk you out of this is not real, can I? I couldn't talk you out of it. That's how we got to get about the spiritualities that Christ has paid for us. It needs to become so real to us that no devil, no voice, no other voice or another input in your life can talk you out of what you have in Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Nobody take that as being loose living. Because there's no way you can receive this, have a love for God, and then want to go out and paint the town red. I mean, you're going to hear all this and then, oh, all right. Pastor, I'm stopping at the liquor store on the way home, you know. If anything, if somebody hears the grace message and they start cutting up over it, it wasn't the grace message that did it. The real person showed up. The real person showed up. I heard a story one time, Pastor Todd, about grace. So he thought, well, I'm going home, divorce my wife. So the wife made an issue with the pastor. Ever since you talked about grace, my husband divorced me. And he was like, God's grace didn't do that. Your real husband showed up. He might have sat in church too. You know, sometimes there's two of us. There's the church us, and then there's the real us. There's the come to church us. And then there's the real us. The work of Jesus Christ wants to deal with the real us. The real you. You know? Depression. Work of Jesus Christ can take care of that. Got to keep feasting off of them. The Bible talks about, he says, you feasting. I tell my wife, we got to feast on them. Every day we got to feast off of them. Just keep eating. Just keep eating. You know, you might not see it, but you just keep eating. You see these things as you read your Bible, all these things that Christ done for us, you just keep believing it. You know, there was one scripture that we talked about, and I just skimmed over. It says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. In whom we have boldness, which is confidence, and access with confidence, it says. Like he said it twice. Boldness, access, with confidence. So there is no barriers between us and God other than the ones that we create. Jesus Christ didn't come to make another wall. He's not Trump. No. He didn't make a wall. He broke walls. He broke barriers. And so because of that access, we can receive power. Anyway, we're going to get to the end here. I'm sorry, I had to skip a few things there. All right, making the realities in Christ our realities. So we're going to go through 1 John 5:4. I'm going to go through here real quick, Brother Knows. I'll be done real quick. For whatsoever is born of God, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. So if you're going to overcome anything, it's going to start with what? Faith in what? Faith in the work of Jesus Christ and what that means for you on your behalf. So knowledge with faith. It's not knowledge alone. You know, I found that a lot of times I can quote scriptures, but to live them out is like different. I'll be honest with you, like having agape love for other people does not come natural. For some other people, it comes natural. Some people are just good at love. They love you, don't matter. You can just rob the bank. Oh, we love you. You know, I mean, people just got this love. They're just natural with it. But some of us, it's not so natural. And there's many times I probably fail to respond in love, but yet I can quote that scripture about love. I mean, I can go through that and give you 10, 9 about love. But I struggled to love. So knowledge with faith. How am I going to overcome it? by faith in Jesus Christ, and I keep resting in him, believing in him, until it's birthed in me and then it grows in me, and after a while I'll be able to fulfill love. All right, set your affections. This is kind of a long one, but I'll try to hurry. Colossians 3, because I want to see, you're going to see how these spiritualities and how it should affect us as an example. If you then be risen with Christ, that's the reality he did for us, right? Seek those things which are above, right? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Real quick, those things above, that I believe that's referring to all of the attributes of Christ that Christ wants to give us and that he wants us to walk in, okay? It's not about living your best life. We've Americanized the gospel. We think being blessed is a nice house, a new Tesla car, you know, white picket fence, two dogs, you know, or, and all this other stuff. God is not worrying about the American best life. Amen. He's worrying about do we seek those things that are of Christ and let that be our identity and we walk it out and live it out. So if you be risen, seek those things that are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. So if you're risen, where are you risen at? On the right hand of who? God. So the revelation, you hear people say, God is on the throne. And that's a revelation. But you know what's even a greater revelation? Is that we're on the throne with him. In Christ. We're seated with Christ. Isn't that what he said? Am I saying anything off the wall here? Right. This is positional. This is spiritual realities. Okay? These are spiritual realities that God done for us. And now it's up to us for us to set our affections on things above. So God can give us these realities, but if we're not setting our affections towards it, it'll never become a reality in our walk in our lives. And that's what I want. I don't want to just read about these beautiful things that God has done for us. I want this to become a reality in my life. So we can't feed off other things and expect to have these realities fulfilled in our lives. So number one, you don't listen to any other voice speaking to you other than what God is saying. Don't let no spirit give you a self-image problem that you're less than what God called you to be. I'm not worthy. I haven't done enough. Okay. Welcome to the club. You know, we all felt like that at some time or another. But Christ has done it all. Set, next verse. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. So we're dead. That's our reality. Dead to what? Sin. There's no barrier no more. God took that barrier away. Your life is hidden in Christ, in God. That's our reality. Life hidden in Christ. That's true of us. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, he shall also appear with him in glory. Eventually we'll be in a glorified, you know, we'll get to that glorified state. Then he says, because of these realities that you have, therefore mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. So because of these realities, then I'm going to go mortify the deeds of the flesh. So I'm not mortifying the deeds of the flesh to get Christ. I'm mortifying the deeds of the flesh because I got Christ. Because of his work in me and through him and by him and because of all these things that he done for us, I can go attack these things in my life and put them to death. And I'm doing it under his power, under his banner. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in that which you also walked some time where you lived in them. I'm sorry for such a long scripture, but it's here. But now you also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And why we're not going to do it? Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man. Christ killed the old man for us. And now that the old man is gone, we're going to put away the deeds and the actions of the old man. How do we do that? Setting our affections on things above. It's more important that I show Christ to that person at the fast food that can't get my order right after 12 minutes. It's more important that I manifest Christ to that person than my order was 7 minutes late. Right? It's more important that I react and conduct myself as a godly man than what my coworker did or what have you. Why? Because the old man's gone. We've got to start operating by the new man. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in what? Knowledge after the image of him that created. We've got to get that knowledge of Christ. Keep feasting off of Christ and his word every day. Yeah. Keep renewing it. And after a while, you will begin to operate by the new man. The reason why people operate by the old man, because they're not renewing their mind after the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yes. You want the edge? Know him. Knowledge. Want the edge in Christ? Know him. Knowledge. Yes. I don't know if that's proper English grammar or whatever, but I say. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, I don't know what that is, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. So we're putting stuff off because the old man's gone. Now we're putting something on because of the new man. So we put away the old man and his messy ways. Now we're putting on the new man. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, meekness, and long-suffering. But what? Go back to that, brother. As the what? As what? Because we're what? We're holy. We're holy instruments of God. So now we conduct ourselves like we're holy. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, see, we got that spiritual reality. Now it's becoming our reality. Even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. So Christ has forgiven us of sins. That's our reality. So then now our reality is what? How can I hold a grudge against somebody else when Christ has done all this for me? You know, sometimes it's hard to forgive people because we don't really realize how corrupt we are without God. When you forget just how vile and corrupt you would be without Jesus Christ, when you understand that because of him, everything flows through, it makes it kind of easy to forgive other people. You know. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectedness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called, one body, be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ, that's us, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Go to the next one. I got to get down here because I'm not even sure what time I'm at. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father. Doing all things in his name doesn't mean I go around to work in Jesus' name. You know, I'm going to go give this medicine in Jesus' name. It means in his nature, in that person of Christ. His nature is what he represents, then I'm doing it in Jesus' name. Last one, and then I'm closing, Brother Mills. This is amplified, and I did that because it's so much clearer. So then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, now he's in my presence, you've done these things in my presence, but now that I'm leaving, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation, that is, cultivate, bring it to full effect. So his spiritualities we're going to bring into full effect. Actively pursue spiritual maturity with all inspired fear and trembling. So basically, if God put away sin and Christ has done the work, then the only thing that's keeping me from growing is what? Me. And you say, how does that, and somebody might say, that's a long way to talk about why they baptize in Jesus' name. But when you realize everything Christ has done and all those things that he bought and paid for us, arguing about whether you should get baptized in his name or not should be a mute issue. Brother Knowles?
Amen. Good study. Good study.
Sorry, you're fine, brother.
Amen. That's fine, man. Good. Good teaching. We got 10 minutes, brother. Ain't nobody got nowhere to go. We all right. We a bunch of old folks here. I ain't got a pill to take, not till about 9:30. Amen. Good teaching. Amen. I enjoyed it. And everything that he talked about, we had in the garden when we walked with God without sin through the first Adam, but we lost it. And the second Adam came and got it all back for us. And now we got to do our best to just scratch the surface and start digging out all the nuggets of truth and the wisdom and all the things that he did for us. I tell you what, it's an interesting study and it's good teaching. And we need to be We need our knowledge of what all he's done for us to grow. For my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And most of the time, if you find somebody that walks away from God or they turn their back on God, there's something that they don't understand. There's something in their understanding of what God is doing that they lack. You know, Paul or Solomon said that if you can get understanding to a matter, then it makes the matter so much easier to deal with. And most of the time when there's a situation in our life that we don't understand, it's because we lack understanding. And I promise you that if you'll talk to God, you know, when they were commanded to come out of Egypt, when he was talking about coming through the Red Sea, when they were to leave Egypt that night, I think it's Exodus chapter 12 or Exodus chapter 13, somewhere right in there, God said, take the lamb that had been slain, roast it, put it on the grill, and then they had to take that lamb and they had to eat it. They had to put it in their mouth and they had to eat the lamb and partake of it. And of course, all of that that he talked about, and even that particular meal is typology. You got to get up every day and take the lamb and eat it every day. And if you'll do that every day, it will produce something in you that the world don't know. And the riches of Christ, the storehouse that he has for us, will just be made manifest in our life. And so thank you, Brother Rob. Good teaching tonight. God bless you. And he won't be with us forever. I don't know. He may be here forever. Who knows? I don't know. I don't think he will, but we're gonna enjoy them and his wife while they're here. And we thank God for sending them our way. And there's so many gifts and talents in the body of Christ. They come in various shapes, sizes, look different, different variations of what people do. But I certainly enjoy every gift. And I've found out that everybody that comes into my life is a gift from God. Even if they did something that hurt me, God can still make it be a gift that edifies my walk with God. It don't have to always be exactly the way I want it, but that's some Watchman Nee right there, and we've talked about that before. He talks about that in his book. Paul said in the book of Ephesians, I think chapter 4 and around verse 22, maybe 21, 22, if you got that, Desmond. I was doing some studying this week on forgiveness, and you touched a little bit on there tonight, but somewhere, I think it's around, go to the next one, go to 22, is it Ephesians 4, maybe it's 32, I can't remember, but at any rate, we'll look at it later. And being ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, and here's the door that swings, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's the springboard. That's the bridge. That's where Paul makes the door swing, because if you can ever just grasp how much he's forgiven me of, and it's a lot. I had stock in Samsonite when I came to God. Y'all know what that is? That's baggage. I brought a bunch of baggage. But you know what he did? He wiped the slate clean, and he forgave me, and he redeemed me by his blood. And he took this old wretched life, and he said, I can do something with it. And when you understand the depth of all that God's did for me and forgiven me, you look at somebody that wrongs you and go, I can let it go. I can let it go. Why? Because I look at everything he's done for me. And when you look at it, if you don't look at it from that proportion and from that perspective, you'll hang on to a grudge. You'll hang on to an offense. But if you can understand, and he was the offended one that took the initiative to forgive me. He had done no wrong in the matter. I was the one who did all the wrong. But he took the first step to redeem me back. And so when you can understand and keep that in the context, you know, and then, you know, if you can't get your brain to come to it on that, when you stand before God at judgment, and we all will one day, he's just going to say, somebody go get Joseph. Come here, Joseph. And when Joseph stands before you, you're not going to have anything to say but that I should have forgave and let it go. Amen. Amen. And that same apostle did not embrace loose living, because that same apostle to that Corinthian church said that there is no temptation given unto man that God would not make a way of escape. You may be tempted. You may have some things come into your life. He's going to put a door that you can get out of if you'll take the door. And also, all of those things that he dealt with in Corinth, he told them in the 6th chapter, understand, and he had a list of the works of the flesh, these people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. They shall not go in to the kingdom of God, but then you have been washed. And of course, we all fit into that category somewhere. But thank God we had that wonderful name that attached all those benefits to our life, to us, that changed us. Anybody in here know Jesus changed your life? Without a doubt, you've come too late to tell me. It was nothing but him that stepped into this old life and turned this life around and changed me. Thank you, my friend. God bless you tonight. Would you stand? We're going to give you a chance this evening. If you want to tithe or offering, you can place it in the back. We love you tonight. Be sure to reach out to somebody, call somebody, encourage somebody, strengthen somebody. Send a text, send a phone call. May not seem like much on your end. It may be a whole lot on their end. Let them know you're thinking about them. Amen. Reach out to somebody. Be here Sunday morning. We will be here at 10 o'clock for prayer and 10:30 for service. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time in the Holy Ghost. God's going to be good to us. And so invite somebody. Reach out to somebody. Would you just bow your heads for just a minute? Gracious Father, we love you. You're good to us. We thank you for the work of Christ in us. We thank you, God, that you have bestowed so many blessings and benefits upon our life, and we give you honor for that. Help us tonight to walk in it. Help us to see it for what it is. Help us to go deeper into the things of God, that we can grow in your knowledge and your power and your wisdom. God, we pray for everybody that's here tonight. Thank you for their faithfulness to the house of God. Lord, I pray that you would touch them tonight with your spirit as they leave this house, but never your presence. Bring us back here safely Sunday morning, and we will thank you for it in the wonderful, mighty name of Jesus. Give him a hand clap of praise tonight.